peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Well, hello, my name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. And this is episode number 159. So much to be thankful for. Hope you had a blessed Thanksgiving holiday. And from head to toe, doing that inventory inside out, just very grateful for another year, another show to bring you this program today, another Advent as well. And that's the theme, as you may have guessed, of today's show. Even as I was prepping the episode, and I thought, you know, I'm so grateful to be a Christian, to have a sense of what exactly this season is really about, even if I don't live it out with perfect piety, that I have such joy in knowing the purpose of the season. And I think that is a big deal for us, because in our increasingly secular culture, that can be lost. And we're going to talk about that today. Data out that says the number of people who actually celebrates the birth of Christ is dropping to an all-time low, missing that greater picture, the whole source, and what's happening with that. So we'll talk about it, unpack that data, the survey coming up, and also Father Nathan back to share some words of wisdom. Padre in your pocket. So he's going to launch us like a rocket ship into the season. And celebrating Choose Hope. The book is out. And that is me right now doing a dance, shouting like that. That's been me for the last week. So excited to see this big, I think it was like a 38-foot tractor trailer pull down our street and drop off these pallets of books. And if you ordered a copy, hopefully it's in your hands now. We worked really hard over the holiday weekend to get them out quickly. And if you haven't, the good news is inventory has arrived and we are so overjoyed. And I have to say, that is one of the most rewarding parts of the process, of being able to be a part of the process from the very beginning to the birth of the book, and being able to hand deliver and hand write all the packages for our wonderful recipients. So thank you for supporting the effort. Just very humbly proud, if that makes sense, of this little work that we have prepared for you. And so without further delay, let's crack it open. Let's start there.
It's Brooke. It's Brooke's house.
All right, well, come on in. The Christmas tree is actually up already. The Hallmark Channel is playing. I am going to admit it. I kind of always look down on those Hallmark movie watchers, but one day I was folding laundry a couple of weeks ago and I had it on, just happened to pop through the channels. And I mean, it took 30 seconds and that was it, even though it was totally predictable and I was in like this saccharine sweet coma, totally hypnotized by the cheesiness. But you know, it's safe for the whole family. And so if you are a Hallmark watcher, I have now joined you. I don't have the TV on that much, to be honest with you, but it's not always easy to find kind of safe for the whole family programming, even on the Food Network anymore. So I have been watching that on in Brooke's house, and also jumped on the This Is Us bandwagon and just finished season 2 with my husband. So for those of you that have been saying you need to watch This Is Us, I thought there were some issues, some problematic content woven in there. And for the most part, I mean, it's really the good has outweighed anything negative popped up. And I just think the writing is so excellent. The dimensions of the characters, really, really good about real life. So we're on that. We're watching This Is Us. Again, we just wrapped up season 2. No, that's not true. I think we're on season 3, where Jack, he's in Vietnam right now. Even though I really don't ever watch TV, those are two things going on that I wanted to add to the notes. Over the holiday weekend, we've had a little bit more time to do that. And if you come into Brooke's house, you'll see right to the left, Jim's office is filled, piled high with books, boxes of Choose Hope, stories about hope. And over the weekend, I actually met with our editorial team, the Arise of St. Gabriel Media Ministry ladies, and hand-delivered books to them. This was the first time where they, eye to eye, hand to hand, actually saw the books, what we've been working on for so long. And so I actually brought my little recorder with me to bring you right there in the mix. And I wanted to share kind of a first look, first reaction when everyone saw the book, Choose Hope. Take a listen.
Oh my gosh.
The cover, the feels like velvet. Yeah, and the layout, the Jessica's layout, every last little detail, the endorsements are amazing, and you made your name bigger, which I forced you to do. I know next time it needs to be the whole box. Yeah, next one's gonna be, but I like it. I think it's nice. It's my name, it's Brooke Taylor. I want you to be highlighted.
Yes, and it does on the inside, I think, say a team of ecumenical writers. It's our book.
Yeah.
And the stories.
I'm so excited. I got to play Santa Claus when I delivered them to people.
Yes, I have your whole box. I have a huge box.
I did that last year. My brother-in-law, who is, we're trying to get back to the faith. He read the whole thing.
He did.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's so cool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He read mine, and he was very touched and emotional. And I said, well, just take it and read it. And he read it. It's like miracle stories.
It cracks me up because you can actually hear everyone talking at once. There are simultaneous conversations happening all together, but it feels like home, you know, when you get together and it's just that excitement of catching up and your heart overflowing. So it was just a small kind of private gathering that we had to celebrate Choose Hope, and just wanted to bring that to you. And thank you for supporting the book. I know I've said it, but I wouldn't have been here. It wouldn't have happened without your love and encouragement and your prayers as well. And as St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta prayed, to offer something beautiful for God. That's what she would say. That's the heart of this book. And that is our hope for you, that you are brought closer to God through the hope that is found in the stories. And just in time for Christmas.
Come, my long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free.
Oh, wow. So the first week of Advent 2018, this is it. And although I did learn for our Orthodox friends, I was reading that Advent begins on November 15th. So it's 40 days of Advent, just like Lent. I didn't know that before. So it's kind of the same tent poles, the prayer, fasting, give alms in preparation of the Messiah. And I really zeroed in on the fasting because that's something that I more associate with Lent. But the idea is, again, not just to fast from certain foods, but indulgences, so that on the Feast of the Nativity on Christmas Day, it is truly grand, like on Easter morning, where you might give up Facebook for a period of time or a certain TV program, not the Hallmark Channel, or monetary goodies, whatever the case might be. And then on Christmas Day, it truly is a feast. And so I love that, just kind of a side note. But that's one of the themes that I wanted to offer as we begin Advent, to know for us, as it was for centuries, as the people awaited the coming of the King, that it is actually a beginning, not an end. I mean, we all, I think of Christmas as the end of the year and then the beginning of the new year. But for us, liturgically, we are beginning. We are just setting out, starting out a new year. And in preparation for the show, I ran across an article from a large insurance company, really fascinating. This might not surprise you at all, but they were analyzing claims. They were reviewing data and deduced that people were happiest, they were most productive in the days leading up to the holidays. But then immediately following the Christmas season, there's a spike in stress and depression claims. What the takeaway for me is, and I want to marry it in a minute with a survey that I was reading about what's happening to Christmas season, is in many ways, for the secular crowd, all of the eggs are in that basket of preparing, the busyness, and then the Christmas season, and then there's the letdown afterwards. And the scripture in Matthew says, the people in darkness have seen a great light, and that's the way it should be. In that day of Christmas, that is when the light comes, and that's just the beginning for us. And I think our kids need that too, because I've had that, my kids have had that, where it's the post, presents are opened, and you think, okay, what do we do now? It's done. But you can also do that, you know, I think about that too for weddings. And when you're putting all your attention in the day, the ceremony, the dress, and all the pomp and circumstance, then afterwards you're like, oh, what do we do now? But if you're putting your energy into the marriage,
much, and this is just the beginning, then it should be a sense of purpose and light, and this is just what's a taste of heaven. And so for that crowd, it almost seems like the opposite with that scripture. The people in darkness have seen a great light, but they have the light leading up to the holidays. And then immediately following the holidays, there's a spike in that, in the darkness, in the stress and depression claims, in the debt, because that light is missing. But for the Christian, that flame, that light is born. And so it is just the beginning. And then we go to Epiphany. So, man, again, going back to being thankful, feeling grateful for what it is we believe and why. And that I want to kind of segue into what I referenced at the top of the show, which is a poll that really saddened me. And I guess in some ways I'm not surprised because I'm seeing it more and more. I know we have eyes to see. If we're looking around, we notice it, but it's still hard to read. This actually came out last year. It was the end of Christmas 2017. So it's still pretty recent, but it's a poll. This is from Britain, actually, that came out by you.gov. And it says, spending time with family, giving presents, food and drink, these three things define Christmas for the majority of people, at least in Britain. Now, the research shows 91% of that population celebrate Christmas in some shape or form, but only 1 in 5 celebrate the birth of Christ. Only 1 in 5 even acknowledged that celebrating the birth of Christ makes Christmas an important time. So it's mostly a secular festival. The survey asked people for which of any 12 possible reasons for Christmas is important to them, and they could select as many reasons as they wished. Attending a religious service was the least selected response at 15%. Celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ was second least selected at 22%. This is compared with 76% who identified Christmas with spending time with family. 63% who said giving presents to friends or family was the most important and the reason for the season. I just think that is so sad. Even I think especially of the children. You know, they're not ever really being taught. So that's why in conceptualizing today's program, one of the things that kept coming back and that I kept being grateful for is to be able to celebrate the source, the light, the reason for the season. And another layer to that, for me personally, being Catholic, I think there are so many rich traditions, and it's something that I always grew up with. So it's just kind of always been a part of me, but they are so beautiful and something we should stop and thank God that we have, like the Advent wreath. It was interesting. I went to Hobby Lobby. I had to travel a little bit to get there. They don't have one right nearby. They have a Michaels and a Joann's, but I went to Hobby Lobby last week and because I knew they had some great deals, and I was at the checkout counter and I had my candles. I need new Advent candles this season. And the sweetest woman was at the checkout and she picked up the candles and she said, you know, I've always wanted to do that Advent thing. And I said, oh my goodness, yes, it's wonderful. And here she was, you know, an older woman. And I thought, she's never done that in her life. And for us as Catholics, of course, you go into the Mass, there is a wreath that's there because every week when you attend the Holy Mass, they're lighting the candles. So it's automatically, even if you don't do it in your home, something that we see. So that was so cool to stop and think about what an awesome blessing that for my whole life, that visual sign, the light and the symbolism of those candles has been there. And even things like the Holy Family. If you go into any Catholic store, if you go to any Catholic church, usually you'll see a Mary and a Joseph, a Holy Family of some sort, a baby Jesus. This is not common in other Christian denominations, that the iconography of the Holy Family is front and center. It's nowhere. So the fact that we even see the image of the Holy Family that we may venerate and be inspired by is unbelievable. And as we begin Advent, these are the things that I'm trying to focus on, the richness of our faith and what it all means, because it is a struggle, I think, every year with the current of the culture and how strong it moves to say I'm going to go in the other direction on Black Friday and I'm not going to go where the crowds are, because some of us really like that. And I think that's okay if it's balanced out with things like adoration. And if you don't know what adoration is, you've come to the right place. We've talked about it before, but I just wanted to bring it to the surface again as we approach this time of parties and celebration and family, to also recognize the importance of sitting before our Lord, making a holy hour in front of Jesus enthroned in the Blessed Sacrament. I had a chance to interview an Amish author a few years back, and one of the things really stuck with me that she said, which is they never use the word adore. They don't say, I adore my child. Adoration is reserved for our Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that stuck with me because we actually use the word adoration to spend time with our Lord, omnipotent, supreme creator of the universe. And so I always catch myself now, and I don't use that word except in reservation for that holy experience. And also thinking about the Magi, oh, come, let us adore him. They came to our Lord, and that most commonly is used to signify the act of worshiping God. And Father Nathan's going to bring us into the beauty of the mystery of what that all means with a new Padre in your pocket.
Padre.
Hello, everybody. This is Father Nathan with another Padre in your pocket. I want to speak with you about the very important time of Advent. And especially, I want to speak of it in terms of the need for prayer. We all know there was a movie that came out, talked about the necessity of a war room, where the person would go to pray on their knees for what was going on, and then all of the ways that that helped the person. It was an excellent movie and excellent message. And yet a lot of us have a hard time really understanding how to live that out, because while we see that that's, you know, important, it's hard for us to really believe in the value of personal silence before God. Let me tell you, as a priest, I actually offer Mass rather regularly all by myself. That is to say, in the midst of the morning, sometimes 3:30 a.m., I'll be in the chapel by myself alone offering the sacrifice of the Mass. And you could say, well, what good is that? And actually, it's of infinite good, because the priest, even though he be by himself, when he offers the sacrifice of the Mass, is offering the beloved Son to the Father, thus is answering the cry of this world for salvation by that sacrifice for the world. In a sense, the solitude of a Christian standing before God in prayer is the solitude of the Virgin Mary at the foot of the cross, intercessing for the entire church, interceding for the entire church. It's the solitude of Christ, who alone, hanging upon the wood of the cross, lifts up the entire fallen world to the Father and is heard. Therefore, we need to look at what's going on in our world, our families, our culture, and instead of immediately jumping on Facebook and writing another comment or starting another war with another Facebook comment troll, maybe say to ourselves, maybe the greatest thing I can do for this world is to lift it up before God in an act of prayer. Now, for Catholics, of course, this is done preeminently by holy hours, where you spend an hour, because Jesus asked us to, in prayer, to dedicate yourself to that. I know that the rest of the year you don't have the time to do that, but maybe you actually need to, not just for you and your family, but for the whole world, to be there for the victims of abuse, to be there for the unification of the left and the right, to be there for the innocent victims of abortion, but to be there and to lift them up in front of God. When we do this, we also discover something amazing about ourselves, and that is that we are made for that solitude with Christ. When you actually spend an hour a week in front of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament on your knees praying, it's amazing how we find that he wants us there. And what joy that is to know that amidst all of our doing, there's something that even more precious, and that is our love. And when we pray in silence and in solitude, we discover that love. And this is maybe the best gift that God will give us this Advent. My beloved daughter, you are mine, and I want you to love me. And so, happy Advent. May your time be filled with silent moments. May adoration of the Blessed Sacrament teach you the depths of who you are in front of him and in his eyes. And may all of us wage the true combat for peace this Advent, the combat waged on our knees.
Thank you, as always, Father Nathan Cromley. Oh, do I love that. The solitude really speaks to me so good. You know, what happens with me, and I will admit it, sometimes I bury myself with busyness because I don't want to be alone with him. And when we're alone with him, we are alone sometimes with things that are difficult, sometimes with our own sin, sometimes our own, in my case, ADD and distractions. But isn't that God that right when we need it, this holy season arrives, and it's the exact lifeline our soul needs. And I do think, yes, it's good that there are parties and gifts and 'tis the season to be jolly and all of that. But there is also a sobriety that accompanies the season. And in the years where there is sorrow, maybe health challenges or broken relationships or a job loss or the loss of a loved one where it really stings, that is the current that we have to plug into that still has the power to light our hearts. Not the surface stuff that can blow away, but the source of our eternal light. So thank you so much to Father Nathan for the reminder of that. And I pray that your Advent is blessed as you set out on your journey. I hope so humbly that maybe you'll have a chance also to be accompanied by Choose Hope. It begins this Sunday with the first Sunday of Advent. And so it will journey with you every week. And there are, I know, so many great Advent books and children's stories, but I will also put the link in the show notes for you to order your copy of Choose Hope. Well, last year at this time, we were just getting ready to travel to the Holy Land, our pilgrimage there during Advent, something that I will never forget. And it has been coming up every single day, all day. What's interesting is this is a type of trip where it's not just coming up in my memory, but my emotions too, because you cannot read scripture and not go back to those places. And especially with it being Advent, knowing that we were there then, I just keep crying. My kids, you know, they just roll their eyes. They're used to it. But we are going back. We're going to be there again during Lent. And there is still room for you if you would like to join us. The trip is filling up, but we do have some spots. So it's March 2nd through the 12th. We will be there on Ash Wednesday. We'll visit Jerusalem, Calvary, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, all these holy places, the Way of the Cross, Bethlehem, the Sea of Galilee, Cana, Jericho, the Dead Sea, the Jordan River, Mount of Beatitudes, and the list goes on. I mean, these are all things just bubbling up out of my heart that you are going to be speechless to stand in these places like Capernaum and all the others and the soil of our Lord. So details are in the show notes, and you can also always email me if you have any questions. Thank you to my wonderful producer, Mark Cumming. Thank you also for your prayers for his wife. In our last program and also on our Facebook page, we had mentioned about the need for prayers for his wife, Lisa, as she was having some health issues. She is recovering. She's home. Thanks be to God. And just so grateful for this community of prayer warriors, and grateful to Mark for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. So for any production needs you might need, check him out at cominghomestudio.com. Thank you also to our Podbean patrons who continually support the program. Pray for you every day. If you would like to become a Podbean patron and support this program, you can do so by clicking on the show notes. Just click on Become a GTR Good Friend of the Show. God bless you on your journey to Bethlehem and all the ways that you seek him in your family and in your life. Until next time, friends, peace and love.